Hey, everybody. We're here in Toronto, home of the Blue Jays, Raptors, Maple Leafs, and Canadian psychic Robert Lindsay Milne. That's me. Welcome to my side of the crystal ball. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be traveling all over the world, starting off here in Toronto. WWRS, what would Robert say? Tonight, I'm going to be talking about trust, how to build it, how to get it, how to lose it, how to get it back, and how to maintain it. Trust, WWRS. And then we're going to be blasting off from Toronto, going all the way around the world, and we'll be landing in Nelson, New Zealand. And we're going to be talking with spiritual medium, grief and trauma intuitive channeler, Michelle Carpenter. Michelle is going to be talking about her life as in her trauma, how she was traumatized herself, how she's healed and worked on herself, and the techniques and ways she works with people that are traumatized as well. That's her specialty. She does some other things too. That's on the expert's chair. Then we're going to jump in our rocket and blast off, and we'll be landing next in Southern California, Los Angeles to be specific. And we're going to be talking to media vision expert, book coach, and Dare to Dream podcast host, Debbie Dassinger. And Debbie's going to be talking about all the things that I've just mentioned and all about her psychic awareness and a million other things. That is on the main event. And now, just before we start, though, I have a request. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like and comment. We need your comments. That'll get our ratings up. And subscribe to our channel, and subscriptions are complimentary. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and any other place where you get your podcasts. If you're looking to find me personally, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, not to mention my website, www.robertlindsaymilne.com. And now, without further ado, and you can trust me on this one, WWRS. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fifth episode of WWRS, What Would Robert Say? Last podcast, podcast number five, I talked about PTSD and developmental trauma disorder and how our brain freezes. And that is a, you know, pretty serious issue, PTSD and how our brain freezes. Well, we also find ourselves in situations where in everyday life, if we don't have trauma disorders, we don't have trauma, those types of issues, we do find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to do when we get stuck. And there are, and it's similar to having a PTSD meltdown or shutdown. It's not quite as intense, but it's similar in the way our brain works. By the time we get to around 30 years old, we have experienced just about every type or kind of problem or difficulty that is in our destiny to experience. Now, when I say experience every type of difficulty, it's like a category. And there's only so many categories of problems, and there's only so many things, difficulties that we can experience. So when we get to a situation where we've experienced just about every category, and by around 30, 35, we have. So when we're in a, and incidentally, the way we've handled the situation is just about the same way every time. The difficulties, that even though they may be different, the patterns are the same, and the way we handle them often are the same. And I'm sure you've found yourself in a situation, say, here I go again, I've done it again, I've done this, or I chose that, I knew different. We all go through those times. So when we're in a situation and we're stuck, if we simply say to ourselves, hey, wait a minute, I have experienced something like this before. Not the exact thing, but something similar to it. And you have. And there is something really important about what you've experienced in that process. is that you found the solution the same way. And it was the way it needed to be solved. It got you through it. It may not have been the best way or the most effective or got you the most of what you needed, but it got you through the way you had. You got it through the issue you were going through, and it always did. So when we're in a situation and we don't know what to do, we say to ourselves, I've experienced something like this before. And you go from, I don't know what to do, I'm stuck in this, and you see that it's a pattern. And when you know this is how you've always solved this problem, you then have a choice. You have the way you've always done it, and then the exact opposite. And the exact opposite, now you don't have to do it, is may not be the best way to solve it as well, but it is another way. So as soon as you go from only one way or the same way to having a choice, an option, your mind starts to open up and see possibilities. So when we have one way of doing something, then we have equally the opposite. And then we have somewhere in between. And somewhere in between doesn't have to be the middle. It can be off to the left. It can be off to the right. It can be somewhere in between. So when we have these patterns and we recognize them, I always find myself in this relationship. I always find myself in this argument. I always find myself running out of gas. I always find myself late. All these things, they're all unconscious patterns. And they're all able to be the opposite or somewhere in between. And when you look at the possibilities, you can then make choices from an aware state. And some people call it wisdom. So that's what I have to say tonight on WWRS. If you have any comments, write in any questions. And if you have any ideas of what you would like me to talk about on WWRS, I'm open to suggestions. In the meantime, we've got an action-packed show for you, and I can hardly wait to get started. Sitting in the expert's chair tonight, we have to go all the way around the world to Nelson, New Zealand, in the southern island of New Zealand. Michelle Carpenter, spiritual medium, grief and trauma counselor, and a channeler, healer, and rather spiritual being. She's going to be with us tonight talking about her techniques, her way of thinking, and how she got from Johannesburg, South Africa, all the way to southern New Zealand. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest, Michelle Carpenter. Welcome to the show tonight, Michelle, all the way from Nelson, New Zealand. So welcome.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Now, I was looking at your biography, and you first started out in Johannesburg, and then you made it to this green paradise in southern New Zealand. But you took your skills and talent and practice from South Africa to New Zealand, and you still practice. And you're a spiritual medium, mm-hmm. a grief and trauma intuitive, mm-hmm. and a channeler. Have I missed anything?
No. For me, it's those are the labels overall, besides the grief and trauma that I work with in humans. The rest is energy.
So what drew you into trauma type therapy? I'm really interested in it as a psychic, and also because of my own personal traumas. What drew you into dealing and helping people with your skills and abilities and specialize in trauma?
Pretty much my background in terms of how I grew up, was sexually abused by my uncle at the age of 5. I didn't know that this was bad at all until I became a teenager. I had bulimia at a very young age. I had parents in the 70s that used to party hard, drink a lot, which affected me as a child a huge amount. I lost my young friend at the age of 16 and a half. And I knocked over and killed a young girl at the age of 24. And in between these moments...
You knocked over a young... You were driving or did you punch her?
No, I punched her. I took a life. I didn't punch her. Sorry, I just went in with
that. Yeah, okay.
Sorry. It's all right. No, I didn't punch her. I knocked over her. I was in my car. I was driving during the day. Right. I come from a sales rep background. And I knocked her over. And And in between that, I've had not good relationships with men, guys who cheated on me. And then I actually went to go see a clairvoyant at the age of 33 when my ex-husband, I'd found out, was having an affair. And I was so angry at life. I was so angry at just everything. And I thought, there's got to be something different.
So you were also doing readings at that time. It wasn't like...
No, not at all. Not at all.
At
the age of 33, I felt like life needed to change. And I had a young baby girl at the time. And I just didn't want to be the person that I was. I was very much what I've come to realize. I lived in a state of fight or flight or fright.
Tough way to live.
Tough. Very tough. And so my go-to was anger, being angry, being triggered, projecting. And like I said, went to go see a clairvoyant, and I ended up going on a wonderful weekend away to this retreat out in the Michaelisburg Mountains, and it was run by a bunch of women who used to be caregivers for hospice. And that was the change of my personal journey, where I started realizing how much trauma I had lived with for such a long time. To give an example, I knocked over and killed this young girl in my car in broad daylight on the 15th of December, 1998. 2 days later, I was driving down to Cape Town, which is a 12-hour drive from Johannesburg to Cape Town. And then I went and partied hard. I just suppressed it. I didn't realize that I actually, even when I came back from that holiday, that I had issues, that I actually needed to go see somebody, but it was just something that wasn't mentioned.
What did you do?
I suppressed all my feelings.
No, I meant when you said, I have to go see somebody. What did you, who did you see?
I saw nobody. I literally sucked it up. Yes. I literally carried on with life. And my go-to was work. My go-to was, the more stressed I am, the more I can cope. I literally used to say that to people. And I was a fantastic sales rep. And all I did was suck it up. And I did that for 9 years.
Wow.
Pretty much so. Yeah. Until 9 years later, I went to go see this clairvoyant. So my ex-husband probably did me one of the best, greatest services for me to start healing me. And that's where I started on my journey of learning that there's more, learning and releasing my grief and my trauma that I'd held onto for such a long time.
How'd you do it?
A lot of tears.
Oh, okay.
Releasing. Sorry, is that what you mean?
Okay. And the other part was, what gave you the inspiration to help other people using your intuitions? Like, how did you go from that and selling things to being a spiritual channeler? A spiritual medium. I have trouble separating medium and channeler. That's why I get tongue-tied over them. So,
sure.
But obviously they're different to you. So how did that happen? So here's a severely traumatized woman, child and young woman, doing work on yourself, and then becoming a spiritual medium. What happened? How did that occur?
So after this weekend retreat I went away on, I then decided to, I always resonated, the friend that I lost when I was 16, I saw her pass away in hospice in Johannesburg. And I remember watching her parents and watching the counselors. And I thought, how do people do that? How, you know, you're surrounded by death. how are these people able to compose themselves? And I basically, after this weekend away, I decided to do a deep dive into doing a 14-week counseling or caregiving course at hospice. And I became a part-time caregiver for people who are terminally ill. And I just went into this deep dive of exploring more courses. What more could I do? And for me, the best healers are the ones that work on themselves. And guess what? My first few clients that I had, not the terminally ill ones, but the first few clients where I started working in my own home,
yes,
were ladies who were sexually abused. And I knew it. And right. I thought, the universe is helping me to heal as much as I'm helping them to walk, sure, with them on their journeys. And it was intense. And I actually still remember thinking, holy shit, the universe clearly has a great, great sense of humor. And but I knew it. I knew that every time they shed a tear, I shed a tear with them. And every time that they would share their stories, I would have these feelings, these unconscious feelings. I would feel my stomach contract, and I knew that I still had work to do on myself. So my experience has very much been about, in terms of the label of becoming a spiritual medium, I now know that we're all connected. I just suppressed it due to, you know, a lot of the drinking that my parents, a lot of the fighting that my parents had when we were young kids. I remember so much of it. My oldest brother suppressed it. And I in terms of leading up to the work that I do now, the more I let go of what I held on with my body, the vibration, the fear, the fight, the flight, right, the fright, and also in the last 20 years of South Africa, living in South Africa from the 90s to the 2000s, again, always been on.
Oh,
always been on.
I bet.
And moving to immigrating to New Zealand, I realized, both my husband and I have gone, wow, we've just lived in a state of fight, flight, or fright for many, yes, many, many years, including me being a young girl. Because every time my parents fought, every time something had happened, my body would just freeze up. And I remember as a young girl having nightmares where I was running, but I couldn't get my voice out. I was just in this darkness. Again, huge amount of surge of chemicals just going through my body, huge amount. So it wasn't something we were taught. And I realized more and more that I worked on myself and the healing happened for myself. And like I say, I've absolutely, absolutely seen in the work that I do, grieving is such a part of our important process. And it's not one way is wrong and not one way is right. When a person lets go and they're vulnerable and they allow their tears to come, the body lets go.
Some of your work then is helping people complete their life, die?
I used to be involved in that in South Africa. I haven't as yet here in New Zealand. My work now, I feel where I'm, yes, at right now, and it, yes, evolves all the time.
Okay.
And it changes continuously, I'm finding. So hence I talk about the labels of being a spiritual medium, even channeling, not what I did a year ago or 2 years ago. It's what I'm doing now.
Okay.
But no, I am not helping people pass over. I am about helping a human work with their programmings, with their belief systems, with their unconscious, subconscious feelings that the body holds on to. And I have the ability to feel into a person's vibration and feel into where the energy is held within the body. So as a person's talking, as a person's telling their story, whether it be anything to do with their life, mm-hmm, a lot of people don't remember, I find, they don't remember a lot of their childhood. Yet when I'm tuning into the body, their body, as they're sharing the story of their father or their story of their mother, I feel the resonance within an organ. And I deep dive.
An organ?
Literally an organ. So for instance,
what are their organs? Do you feel it in your body and say and sense it from theirs?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So okay. I'm always checking in with my team, with my guys.
Okay.
Is this mine or is this theirs? Because I feel it's so important to know, is this my feeling or is this their feeling? And for me, it's I feel it in my body, yet I bring attention into their body, because a lot of times I find the head and the body can be so separate.
Yeah.
Yes, and so, a lot of people don't understand, but it's getting them to the feeling of their bodies.
Okay, so when you tune into that organ that's theirs, or being triggered by your sense in a similar organ, then what happens? So when you get drawn to that, what do you do, or what does the client do? I guess I'm asking you your technique.
Yes, absolutely, and it's pretty simple. It's getting them to close their eyes.
Yes.
Take a few big breaths and bringing them into the present moment, and then getting them to go within their body. And sometimes, a lot of times, I get guided that I will say to the client, okay, I'm sensing something within your liver, or I'm sensing something within your stomach.
Okay.
And I can definitely feel the vibration. I also, what I hadn't mentioned is I can feel when the heart contracts and I can feel when the heart expands.
Wow.
So when they go into a place of sadness, they might not be aware of it, but I will say, oh, there's sadness. I'm sensing sadness. And we will go into the body. And then I get shown, I'll say to him, well, between the ages of 0 and 7, what's the age? And I'll say, just trust what you're getting. Because when we're in our heads, a lot of times I find that people don't trust their intuition. Right. And they'll say, 3, I'm sensing something when I'm 3. And then I just say to them, okay, bring up that little person when they're 3. And then we explore the story of what the subconscious is holding onto. And sometimes, most times, when there's some tears that come, the body starts to release and the body starts to relax. And then they start to become a sort of an equilibrium of calmness. And when the body's on, the mind is just on. And I know this from my own personal experience. I know that still to this day, when I'm feeling overwhelmed or there's a lot going on in my world, then I really have to go and take myself out and be in nature. And if I can't do that, I really expand into my breath and I have to find a way to. And the way that I've taught myself is one affirmation, and I've been working on myself for 15 years, which is, I love and appreciate myself. I love and appreciate myself. I love it. And I say it over and over and over and over and over again. And then slowly but surely, my body lets me relax and my mind lets go. Because as we know, it's that fight or flight going into the limbic brain,
yes,
which is what gets us on.
Absolutely.
You know, the amygdala, the cortisol,
absolutely,
the adrenaline.
Absolutely.
We're on. And so once I'm out in the field of all possibilities, I can start to see when I'm in the body, I start to see the vibration of a person. So the beauty of what I love doing within my work is that somebody might be saying something to me, but the body's showing me something different.
Right.
And I'll
of
say,
course.
Hold on. Let's go into the body. And then they start exploring. And I'll give them the guidance, but they start exploring. And then we go into color. I'll say, what color do you see within that part of your body?
Yeah, this is brilliant.
And thank you. And they get a color. And if it's a darkness or a black or a dark red, I'll say, okay, well, what are the feelings in that?
Wow,
and we give them time. Because again, the head, and I can actually feel when the person goes into their head, because I just feel this energy here. And I'll say, you're in your head again.
Right.
Take a few big breaths. Let's go back in. Because sometimes that's how life is, isn't it?
It is.
It's head, heart, head, body, head, stomach. And again, the expansion happens as soon as they start trusting themselves.
So theoretically, with your techniques, theoretically, they could get cured in one session. Theoretically, they find the light or find that thing that they can release. They could do that theoretically, but it's not practical. So, how long would someone work with you? In this process, would it be a month, a week, a year, 10 sessions? What would it be?
I find that a little bit of a challenging question to answer, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
When I first started out, I So I did the caregiving course for hospice, and then I studied neurolinguistic programming. And the way I was taught in the beginning was a person keeps, okay, we'll book you in for the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week. And I'm going to diverse a little bit, but when I first moved to New Zealand, I was working part-time for an osteopath, and I saw people coming back. I was a receptionist, and I saw people coming back for the same stuff, week in, week out. And I thought, no, man, this doesn't make sense to me, because I'm very much of the opinion, teach people to take responsibility for themselves. So to answer your question, in a session, I will say to somebody, okay, how are you feeling at the end of the session? And my hope is that they feel a little bit lighter.
Right.
But there's still a lot of stuff that's going on. We have an hour and a half together. And I would say to the client, you know what? My sense is that I'd like to work with you and walk with you on your journey. Can we do it next week? And let's just see how we go. Because in the present moment, life changes.
Sure.
And so, yes, initially I should say let's book three sessions, three weekly sessions. If a person's really, really, really in a bad space, and within three weekly sessions, we start to sense and see the change, because the mind kicks back in again.
Right.
And but yet sometimes I've seen such massive, 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 for want of a better word, healings in an hour and a half that I might not see a person for the next 3 months, 6 months. And I'll say, when you're ready, come back again. Yet it's important to know that they are not going back into the same programmings and the same patterns and the same way of life. Because it's so easy to go down in that funk, and then they come back again and they, excuse my language, fucked. And then it's like, okay, Michelle, give us another hour and a half. And I'm like, come on, you're not serving you. You knew that this was... Because then it's down that going down that wormhole, you know. And I don't know. I'm probably not answering the question correctly, but I'm very much of the opinion.
You're answering what you feel, and that's correct. And I knew when I saw your Facebook profile, I knew I really had a sense of how you do your work, and you've confirmed it. You do noble work. You do brilliant work, and
thank you.
You help a lot of people. How can people find you, Michelle? Where can they go to find you and connect with you?
I have a website, and it's www.michellecarpenter.co.nz. And so sorry, I'm just teary because I'm so grateful for your words.
thank you.
And then I have a Facebook page at Mish Medium.
Yes.
And then I'm on Instagram, and it's Mish_Carpenter. And I share part of my own journey on there. I share, on all these different platforms. I'm very much about keeping it real, as you will notice. About being authentic, because as much as we are spiritual on these journeys of finding ourselves spiritually, walking this human life, we're here to be human beings, and we're here to navigate the energy, and we're here to navigate our hearts, and we're here to find our joy.
I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. And what that means is you're going to have to come back again and join us again and share more of your knowledge, your information, your experience. And thank you for being on my side of the crystal ball.
I would love that. Thank you for having me, Robert. Thank you so much.
Well, we're blasting off from southern New Zealand, and we're going to be coming all around the other side of the world, landing in California and Los Angeles, to be specific. And the next guest on the main event tonight is Debbie Dassinger, host of Dare to Dream podcast, media visualization expert, and book coach. She teaches you how to use the media, how to look good, how to be good. And if you're interested in writing a book, she knows all about it. And it's not just about telling you what the words are, correcting your grammar. She can take you from the very beginning all the way up to helping you get it published. So Dare to Dream coach, Debbie Dassinger, is going to be joining me. And Debbie, welcome to my side of the Crystal Ball. Debbie, it's wonderful to see you. And help me out. What does a media visibility expert do?
Yeah. So media is books.
Yep.
And media is basically our promotional materials and how we disseminate ourselves, our message, and our being out to the world. And how do you do that? Well, one of the ways and the legs, be interviewed, right? Get on podcasts, get on radio shows, but don't just find a way to get yourself booked. Be exquisite, like know how to operate and function once you're being interviewed. So you get massive results, like finding your tribe and a following and selling out workshops, or just people getting your free gift and building your database. The second piece is write a highly engaging book. And I've got a coaching system. I've got private clients and ongoing book writing groups. And then I take on private clients who are authors who want to take their book from what it is, having been published or about to be published. And I guarantee that myself and my company gets them to international bestseller. So I've had 100% success rate. And I feel like that's my wheelhouse. You know, I've been in front of a camera or a microphone or my whole life, literally my whole life. And I feel like your wound is your gift, what you ultimately give out to the world, right? And I also feel like, you know, this is something I'm passionate about at a time in the world where the light workers' voices are needed now more than ever. And so I feel like I'm the one to hold the light on the path and guide them there.
How did you know that that's what you're supposed to do? How did it happen?
It's such a good question, because I didn't. And I had been an actress and a singer. I had been a radio host, a podcast host. I had been writing books. What I did, Robert, was I followed energy. And that's the one thing I've done, like, that never made sense logically. And every time I trusted what presented and it felt good in my belly, like, ooh, that looks exciting to do. Don't get it, but let's do it. It led me to the next right place. And so there were a couple of switchbacks that got me here. But essentially, and this may be helpful, in human design, I don't know if you know what that is, human design.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so there's so many ways to find out amazing things about ourselves. And, you know, people use astrology and numerology and Vedic. And so one of the amazing ways to find out more about ourselves is human design. And I happen to be a 2-4 generator. And a 2-4 generator, essentially in the realm you and I are speaking about, Robert, it means if you effort to get something off the ground, it will not happen. You'll spin your wheels. But if you sit back and allow the world and people to come to you and ask you for what they want and need, and then you deliver it, you'll be doing the right thing. And that is exactly what happened. People saw 12, 13 years ago what I was creating on my own and came to me and said, I want that. Can you show me how to do that? And that's how it all got started. And then I fell in love with my clients. I fell in love with that business. And it's just grown into, you know, this beautiful umbrella of being able to help people get themselves in front of other people around the world. So people know what they do.
So you were doing, you were looking after yourself, taking care of yourself, similarly to what your future clients would get. People saw what you were doing for you and said, I want some of that too.
Yes, I'll have some of that, please.
So how long did it take you to realize that it was going to be your work, your future?
That's such a good question. I think it was years, because I was doing it because it was bringing in money.
Right.
And I was doing it, and I don't know if anybody relates to this, but at the same time going, what's my purpose in life? What's my purpose in life?
What you're doing right now in the moment, but... Sorry.
Exactly, Robert. And I'm glad you can see. You have the gift of sight, right? And it's so true, because as I was saying that, what I wasn't realizing is my big gift is to disseminate to the masses. And my most important gift is right here. It is my voice. It's out to people on podcasts, being interviewed in books, etc. And so for me to be able to do that and conversely teach people, show people, whomever they are, how they as well can do it and get results, that is my wheelhouse. So it took years for me to connect all those pieces.
Something you said at the very beginning that really caught my attention, and I just have to get this clear. You said that with authors, and you take them on as your client, you guarantee them an internationally, did you say bestseller? So now that's just not somebody that's come in and says, I want to write a book. This is somebody that has some talent and has written books, or is it these are the people that take your program and do the work?
The people who are in my book writing class, and my book writing class is Visible Visionaries. And those folks, when they finish their book, they know that there's this independent offer, right? And so I charge one price, they get a little bit of a reduction because they're already my students. Yep. And then they usually choose my services because it makes sense, somebody they know, like, and trust to keep going forward, and I've got a great track record. But I also have people who come to me quite independently, and you know, usually, I definitely work with spiritual people. I think we attract who we are. And so I'm highly spiritual and I attract very spiritual people. I find their work fascinating. And they come if they're three quarters of the way book done and they're like, I don't know what to do from here on. Can you guide me the rest of the way, even to self-publishing? I've got those clients. And then there are the other clients who say, here's my book. Tell me, how does this work? And then I tell them it's fully handled for them, which they love. It's a huge process. And it guarantees results. So, you know, it's a win-win. And it comes with a big package. Like, I provide some interviews for them on podcasts and a book video trailer and a press release, and they get all marketing copy and. It's a big experience.
So somebody with a very interesting story comes to you. They don't write very well, but they have a really interesting story. How do you handle those people? Do they have to actually do the writing, or can you find a ghostwriter? Does your service do that as well?
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know if you're asking for yourself.
Oh, a bunch of people. But maybe, maybe. Well, asking for a friend, you know.
Because I got a download when you were saying that.
I bet.
And I would help you. I would do anything I could to help you. You know,
so I was thinking about, though, is what is that there are a lot of people out there like me that have had interesting lives and may not be very literate. So I was really asking it for them. And so you what would you do for them?
Sure. I don't handle that at all, but I could guide them. Okay. So the two things I would recommend, because I teach the writing, right? So if somebody says, I don't want to write, like, it's, that's not for me, but they speak well, mm-hmm. I would say speak your book into a microphone or your phone and then have it transcribed. You can hire someone on Fiverr.
Right.
There's something called Otter, OTTER.AI, that transcribes audio into written. It's a lot of work, I'm not going to lie, because on the other end of Otter.AI, they make a lot of mistakes. So that's one. The other is, I, of course, over the many, many years, come across people who do this work and are exceptional. And so I would make a recommendation, you know, here's a great editor for your book, or here is a great ghostwriter, you know, let's see what magic you guys create. But I don't also write the book for the person.
You said you don't write the book for the person. So
I don't, I help them write their own engaging book, yes.
So that would be in there in the courses that you teach.
Yeah. So I've got private clients who say, I just want to do this with you.
Right.
Whether they want to meet twice a month, four times a month, you know, we have to see, it's rotating, right? Who I work with and when their space is open. And same in my class, I teach them, we meet twice a week live, and then they always read their work. And they love that more than anything, hearing each other's work. Oh, it's so fun. I mean, the one hand, there's that proud mama piece, where like a year ago, these people, to see how they felt about writing, and some of them came from what you're talking about. I'm not good. I don't know if I have anything readers want. How do I tell this? I don't know the process, but I kind of want to do it. A lot of them came with baggage, right? But a part of my job is to help people heal that stuff and to see that is not a fact. It's an aberrant lie that we tell ourselves, and it frees people. So many of these people a year later, when they're reading their work, my God, it's amazing to see how good they are. They are beautiful authors, and they know the entire writing system now. They're comfortable in it, held in it. And we have two spots. I just want to say,
yeah,
two spots, because I have two students who graduated because they finished their book through my class. They successfully published, and they're having a grand time being interviewed, and it's creating visibly what they always wanted. So if anyone wants those spots or is interested, you want to go to debbiedashinger.com/visiblevisionaries. It's one word, and it's, I think you can see my name at the bottom of the screen. You have to spell it right, debbiedashinger.com/visiblevisionaries. And there's it'll teach you what the class is and what it delivers. And then there's a registration at the very bottom. That easy.
You use a lot of brain power doing your work. Do you use a lot of intuition?
You're so good. Yes.
Lucky guess? Pardon?
Almost purely. I'm clairsentient.
Are you? Oh, yes.
And I am, you know, there's a new word I just learned that blew me away. And you may know it better than me. And I don't know if I'm even saying the right word. I want to say like claircognizant, if that's right, but it's knowing that you know, like you just get information. So those two, which clairsentient, if anyone doesn't know what that means, it is about your feelings, being very, very sensitive, right? And sometimes that gets confused with empath or intuitive or compassion and all that, but it really is, I feel like a computer, and unknowing to me, like just information comes. And yes, that is how I lead with my people, because it's always where my people say back to me, oh my God, that was my breakthrough. That's what I needed to hear. So I trust it.
So the word was Claire.
Sentient?
Yeah, and that I know, the new one.
Claircognizant. Like to recognize.
Right. Yeah. To know that I know that I know. And I'm just trying to think about that. So when people ask me, how do you be psychic? one of the things that I say to them is become aware of what's obvious. Look at the person and see what's obvious about them. And when you become aware of what's obvious, then more becomes obvious about them. And then more becomes obvious again, until you get to a point that what's obvious to you is not obvious to anyone else. So, but you start off with seeing the person and just seeing them and become aware of them and just look at them. So when I'm doing a reading for somebody, I look at that person. I see them. I look at their face. I look at their shoulders. I look at their hands, their legs. I see them and I pay attention. I don't make a judgment. I just see. And then when I see obvious things, then more becomes obvious. And then more and more and more and more, until I'm at a point where what I'm seeing is not obvious. And if I were in a normal state, I wouldn't see it. Mm. So, that's really very simple. And I encourage people to, you know, forget about the words. Just do it. Just talk. So now I also think I've spent all these years becoming aware of what's obvious, looking for it. I think now I see things very much like, and I'm just trying to remember that word again, Claire.
You're cognizant.
Yeah, just practicing being aware, you become more cognizant. Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. You're talking about being fully present.
Yeah.
And when you are, and you're also in a field, right? We create a unified field when we connect with another or a couple of people or a group. And in that unified field, energy is everything. We know everything. We truly do.
What's a unified field? Tell me. I've never heard that one before. That's great.
Yeah, it's science. So, it's like, there are these old sayings where two or more gathered, what's possible. And the reason why that level of magic or miracle is possible is because you're creating a unified field, which means, and you and I are doing it actually right now, Robert, between us, there is an energetic field and extremely outside of us that is connecting us right now. And I'll tell you something interesting. If you've ever had an interview with somebody, because I know you've been interviewed a lot.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever had an interview with somebody where you felt like totally disconnected from the host?
Absolutely.
Like, where are you coming from?
Yep.
This is going to be a terrible interview. Yep. I don't know what's going on. And it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
Been there too. And what's happening is, and especially because I'm speaking to you, Robert, not to a client who might have different circumstances, because it's you and I know how well you connect, I am telling you, it would be the host who is literally not in a field with you, who is somewhere so here in their head, and they are not connected to you at all. So that would not create a field. It's not just any two people or any group. And if I may, there's one more example I
Please.
Can give of that. Lynn McTaggart wrote this incredible book many years ago called, it's probably 4 years ago, but three or four. And it's called The Power of Eight. And she's a real scientist, like a real researcher. And she started to do these research studies about what would happen if I put eight people together and I gave them a person in some circumstances and just said, pray about this person. Or maybe it was about a city, or maybe it was about crime or the police or, and every time she did this and the eight prayed, it created a scientific provable outcome with the person's situation or the environmental situation or the city situation. And she ran this through for years because a scientist doesn't easily believe they have to have proof upon proof. So then she metaphysically started taking this out to the world and saying, what would be possible if we all formed these groups? And because she was on my show, I happened to be lucky enough to go to her workshop. And in her workshop, she separated everybody into groups and said, okay, none of you know each other. And why doesn't somebody be picked in the group? And you all pray over this person. I raised my hand in the group. I was lucky enough to be picked. And everybody prayed over me. And I am telling you, within 24 hours, my life started to change positively towards what I wanted. So that's a unified field. And within a unified field, amazing things are possible.
Yes. So going back to something that you talked about at the very beginning of this part, sensing energy or the connection. When I'm going to do an interview and when if I'm going out somewhere or in a situation and I'm not quite sure how it's going to turn out or what the situation will be, I have this process. And I started doing this back in the 1970s. And the first time I did it, I was flying to Ottawa I was doing an audition for a radio show. And the host was somebody I did not relate to at all. And I learned this meditation. So it's very easy, very quick meditation. If you can use it for a lot of things. But what I did on the airplane is I just sort of put myself in a light state of, an altered state of consciousness, just very light. And I imagined myself connected to a machine I called an EEG. And then I visualized the host of the show I was going to be on with attached to the other side of the EEG machine. And both of us had those metal caps on. This is in my head, right? And the wires leading into the machine. And the machine created a synchronicity with our energy and put it all and balanced it. And while I prepared that, then when I met the guy, I was on the air with him and I was saying things that I like weren't normally in my way of thinking, or saying things that in a sense of humor that wasn't my sense of humor. But this guy was on the floor. And I realized that doing that type of meditation joined our vibes, our energy together. Now, he and I had very little in common, except I did a show with him once a month for 12 years. Oh. And I would fly to Ottawa and I'd sit outside. It'd be like 3 minutes before the show. He'd say, "Hey, Robert, come on in. How you doing?" "Yeah, good, I'm good." We'd be on the air. It'd be like a dynamite show. We'd have a commercial and we'd both look out the window in opposite directions. And the show would be over. We'd blow the lines out of the city. And he'd say, "Well, see you next month." And I'd say, "Oh, yeah, see you, Lowell, bye." And that'd be it. But I always put us in that meditative state and it always worked.
That's powerful. That's exactly the thing to do. I would recommend, and people who want to use something like this, and you can use it for anything.
That's why I brought it up.
Absolutely. If you're going to have even a call with somebody, whether it's a potential
absolutely.
Client or a family
absolutely.
Member, or
absolutely.
And you don't know, literally you can go into a meditation and see you and that person. And
yep.
whether you want to just see love between
yep.
you, the outcome between
yep.
you, a connection, that's all you need to do.
That's right.
Right? It's very powerful. And so you're already creating the situation before you get there.
Yes, that's right. And that's exactly right. That is what is going on. Incidentally, the same concept of doing that light meditation, if you're feeling frightened or nervous or you think boogeymans or whatever are chasing you, what you do is visualize a speck of white light in your solar plexus. Every time you inhale, the light gets bigger. Every time you exhale, the light gets purer. And after a short amount of time, that speck of white light that's been inside you fills your body cavity. In an inhale, it gets bigger. Exhale, it gets purer. Then eventually, instead of you having the little speck of light inside of you, you are inside of the dazzling ball of white light. And that cleans your energy out from the inside out, including your aura. And it puts a layer of protection around you against any other negative energies. And you can do it like that fast if you want.
So good. That's so good. I love that. I was doing it while you were saying it.
I was watching you, yeah.
And another one people can do, to harken back to what you said earlier, that the idea of creating a unified field or a good experience with somebody is the connection. And to be connected, right. you have to be aware, or to be psychic, you have to be aware.
Yeah.
So one thing you can do to become aware is become present. And all you have to do is take a few deep breaths, just close your eyes. And when you open your eyes, say, "Everything is me." And then look at a book, for instance, or whatever in your room is there, and then feel that connection energetically, particles, if you will, with a book, with a plant, with a painting, with a dog, with a chair, and you can do it like this. And before you know it, you are so right there, aware, alert, present. It's also a beautiful way to go into an interview or speaking or.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're simple things to do if you understand them. I'm not quite sure how we went down that path, but it certainly was a fun one. So is this, do you have more things that you're going to be doing, or have you found your niche that's going to be going on now to what, 107 or 8 years old? Or
have well, I you like found? That number. You know, I'm always questioning that. I am for sure continuing this work because it is so gratifying. And because I get results. If I wasn't getting results for people, I wouldn't bother, frankly. And then I wouldn't have filled classes. So right. yes, I'm gonna keep doing what I do. At the same time, concurrently, what's been calling me are two pieces that actually feel quite connected. And the one is shamanism, this whole world and rebirth that's happening right now on the planet. I find this indigenous I just find it beautiful. I'm sure I've had past lives doing this before. And so I'm very much in it. And the thing that's come along that started a year ago November, is that I was told during a ceremony about playing music. And I used to be a professional singer. I used to be a professional musician.
I've heard you sing and play.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. It's like, when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, it's been 13 years. I don't even know if I have a voice. Why would I do that again? But my partner grabbed his guitar and he hadn't played in decades. I dusted off my vocal cords. And not only did we start singing and playing together, but 1 month later, we were starting to be booked for live events, online events, parties, ceremonies, book awards, like all sorts of stuff. And it's been amazing. It's still going. We just came back from a contact retreat in the desert where we opened every night before the people came and spoke and delivered to the participants. And I just sit back and go, I don't understand how I got here, except once again, I said yes. And I'm so surprised, Robert, after 13 years, not only do I still have a voice, but actually, and you probably even have not heard it recently, but over the year of using this muscle over and over again and doing performance and rehearsal, it's become much bigger. My range has gotten bigger. I'm doing things I never did before. I'm singing in a way I've never sung before. And I feel like, you know, all glory to spirit that I'm here doing this. I feel so grateful for the music and for the connection to that whole shamanistic world.
Are you going to become a shaman? Are you being led?
I don't know what that means, but I felt a calling. Okay. I received information about that, and I don't care. I'm very transparent. I've been under the influence of plant medicine, where I've been receiving this enormous healing, and I see a shaman woman looking at me, watching the proceedings, and I'm very clear it's me, a future past multidimensional me somewhere. I've also had timeline regressions where I've absolutely seen myself exactly where I lived, what I look like, and I was a male shaman. I've also seen myself as a Mayan priestess. And I'm not somebody who's been very fast at believing in past, I believe in past lives, but it's always been right. A bit of an issue. So when this information came to me, it was like, oh, this is powerful. And I felt the truth of it. I know I've been this before. I don't know if the music is the way to the shamanism. And if you have any insight, Robert, I'm open.
If you take your elegant way of presenting yourself in a holistic way, because often when you meet shamans, they tend to be modest in their material interests or their desires. They tend not to have very much money, but they're not interested in that. They tend sometimes to be more casual in their appearance than some people are. So I could see you being a shaman, but maintaining the image that you have right now, or similar, and then teaching that spirituality.
Yes. Oh my God. So my dream is to deliver events, basically.
Okay.
You know, starting with a one-day event, imbuing it with our music, obviously, because it's very healing music. Music is medicine. And then to do very heart opening, very movement forward, so we can take people from wherever they are right now to another state, so much so that I want them to come back because I want to build community.
Well, I think, you know, just when you get out of your 40s, that might be a new direction for your life, you know. So
That's where the living to 107 comes into play.
That's right. So maybe that is your direction. So you'd be able to do all the things that you're doing now and be a shaman as well.
I feel that strongly. I feel that that's a big purpose for me. And I have struggled for so long with the idea I'm a healer. And then what the heck does that mean? Because I don't do what you do. I don't do hands-on healing, although there's some energy there. There's always been this question, like, what does that look like? And then I realize in my classes, that's what it looks like. I realize when I sing to people and it changes them. And now I've had a year to see that over and over again. Ah, that's what it looks like. And it looks like the clairsentience and claircognizance coming through to help people, to give them the downloads that I'm receiving. It's a soup that's sort of interesting and beautiful all at once.
What a fabulous conversation. Thank you. I don't know where the time has gone. We just seem to have started talking and we have so much more. And well, I guess we just have to do it again.
Thank you.
It's wonderful seeing this side of you. Thank you very much. You're even more than I imagined. You know, I knew you, but this part is really special.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you.
And thank you for being on my podcast, My Side of the Crystal Ball. So.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I can't believe how quickly the time has passed. What an interesting show. What fabulous guests. My special thanks to Michelle Carpenter, spiritual medium, grief and trauma intuitive channeler. Thank you for being on in the expert's chair. I'd also like to thank Debbie Dassinger for being the main event, media visibility expert, book coach, and Dare to Dream podcast host. Thank you for being on. Before I say goodbye, have a couple of requests. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like and comment, and your comments are greatly appreciated. It helps us get our ratings higher. And you can subscribe to our channel, and as you know, subscriptions are complimentary. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you listen to or hear your podcasts. If you're looking for me personally, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. My website, www.robertlindsaymilne.com. That brings us to the end, so please remember, be good, be safe, and above all, just be kind. Good night, everybody.